This WBEZ podcast is supported by Hacia, whose Executive Fellows Program provides Black and Latinx business owners with real-world tools and strategies needed to master fundamental management concepts related to company stability and growth. Registrants learn through one-on-one executive coaching sessions with subject matter experts in the areas of finance, business development, operations, and legal. More info at haciaworks.org. Think on your feet for our Fast and Curious 5K, a one-of-a-kind race hosted by WBEZ and the Chicago Sun-Times on Saturday, July 27th at Humboldt Park. More info and early bird registration at wbez.org/events.
I'm Sasha Ann Simons, and this is Reset. In May, a century will have passed since Nathan Leopold and Richard Loeb kidnapped and killed 14-year-old Bobby Franks in what was known at the time as the crime of the century. The young boy was found abandoned in a culvert outside of Chicago. When Bobby's father, Jacob Franks, died years later, he left behind a large sum of money earmarked for a memorial for his son. A third of the funds went to build a ball field at a summer camp for boys out in Round Lake, and the other two-thirds went to build a boys' club on 13th Place in North Lawndale. It was originally built to serve the mostly Jewish population that filled Lawndale in the first half of the 20th century, and now serves the largely Black population who are in the neighborhood now. I sat down with our architecture sleuth, Dennis Rodkin, to hear more on the lasting legacy of the building honoring Bobby Franks. Here's Dennis.
The names Leopold Loeb and Bobby Franks, they're kind of fading into the background, into history. It's been 100 years. And when we think of it, it's sort of trapped in a bubble of time. It happened in 1924. Things like that don't happen anymore.
Yeah.
When I found this building and when I spoke to somebody we're going to talk about, I realized that there is one, it's very faint, but there is one hopeful thing that came out of Bobby Franks's death.
Yeah. So take us there. Set the scene. Where exactly is this North Lawndale clubhouse?
3413 West 13th Place. Right in the heart of Lawndale, heart of North Lawndale, which was, again, in 1930 when this building was built, was a working class Jewish neighborhood. Leopold Loeb, the Franks family, were all wealthy Jewish families that lived in Kenwood Hyde Park. But when Mr. Franks died in 1928, 4 years after his son was murdered, he wanted to do something, he said, to leave a fitting memorial to perpetuate the memory of my boy, who would desire that it be one that would give pleasure, help, and encouragement to boys. Mm. So he gave it to a working class Jewish community rather than rich kids. So then in March 1930, the building is announced. Mm-hmm. Of course, Jacob Franks is gone, but his widow and his older son are there helping figure out what are we going to do with this bequest. And they announce we're going to build a clubhouse for boys in Lawndale.
I see. And is it known as the Robert Franks Memorial Building?
It was called the Robert Franks Memorial Building. And I should say, when I say clubhouse, I don't mean like a wood treehouse, right? We mean a two-story, a beautiful two-story red brick colonial building right there on 13th Place. We have pictures online, mm-hmm. and it still looks almost exactly as it did in 1930.
So it was originally created for this group called American Boys Commonwealth. Talk to us about that group. What was the mission?
It was a service club for boys. It was a place where boys could get off the streets. There were literacy programs. There were citizenship programs, all the sorts of things that the lower class immigrants to Chicago needed at the time. And it provided safety, a place to go when the streets were pretty dangerous.
Yeah. And so ownership of this boys club has changed over the decades, right, Dennis? So who's in charge now?
Well, I think in a technical sense, the ownership has never changed hands. But in the course of the decades, American Boys Commonwealth and a couple of other service clubs for boys and then for boys and girls merged over the years. And what resulted is this group called CYC, Chicago Youth Centers.
So, Dennis, you recently took a visit to the building. And I was struck by when you talked about the presence of kids. You said they were sort of buzzing around the building and that really drew your attention. Tell us about that.
It is. You know, you're on the streets of North Lawndale. There are a lot of things going on, but you walk in and these kids are buzzing around the building. They're doing STEM work. They're playing sports. They're getting homework assistance. It's essentially doing the same thing that it was built to do in 1930. And the thing that really brought it home for me was I go through this group of kids. One of them leads me to the director, Clarence Hogan, who, and I told him what I was looking at. And he said, we're still that place that provides solace to kids. And that, Sasha, that like made this segment happen. The fact that he would say what they built the building for in 1930 for a different population, we're still doing today.
It sounds like it was palpable, too. Like you would be able to see it almost.
Yes. I spoke to an alum of the program, Alan Evans. He's been involved with the building since 1959. He says that he was growing up with a single mother right around the corner.
Mm-hmm.
He had already been to reform school for stealing a car. He is essentially sent to this program, finds help, finds a support network. That was 1959, and still today he's involved. He says, essentially, what this place did for me, we are still doing for kids, and I want to be there helping them.
That's incredible. And what does the building look like inside? Can you describe that?
Red brick inside as well. So again, when I say clubhouse, I think what people ought to think of is more like the clubhouse at a golf course. It was built to be a very stately, attractive building. So you've come through this brick facade on the street and you come up a flight of stairs under some leaded glass windows into this nice, welcoming red brick lobby. There's a fireplace on one side. There are staircases to go up to the classrooms and program spaces above. And then originally you wouldn't have been able to do this, but now you go through that lobby and out into a gymnasium. That was added later. It was funded in large part by Bobby Franks's older brother, Jack Franks, who had been involved with the organization for many years. But it looks like a nice school, a small school, with a gym attached.
Yeah.
This WBEZ podcast is supported by Hacia, whose Executive Fellows Program provides Black and Latinx business owners with real-world tools and strategies needed to master fundamental management concepts related to company stability and growth. Registrants learn through one-on-one executive coaching sessions with subject matter experts in the areas of finance, business development, operations, and legal. More info at haciaworks.org.
Well, as you're talking about funding, I gave a brief summary at the top, Dennis, but I mean, how much of Jacob Franks, Bobby Franks' father's money was used here to build what was originally this Robert Franks Memorial?
He left $100,000. Remember, it's 1926. He leaves $100,000. $70,000 of that goes to build this. That's the equivalent of $1.26
million. Okay.
And then, remember, the family, Jacob's widow, Flora, and the son, Jack, continued to be involved. So there's an infusion of Frank's money from then on. And I said $70,000 went to the club, then $30,000 went to this camp out in Round Lake. That's now called Camp Henry Horner. At the time, the money went to build ball fields and other sports facilities, and the two institutions were connected. The boys who went to American Boys Commonwealth in the summer would take buses out to what's now Camp Henry Horner and use those ball fields.
I thought this line in your story was striking. You write, quote, "Life is different in 21st century North Lawndale from 1920s Kenwood, but it seems that Jacob Franks got his wish."
I think he did. I read you that line that he said about how he wanted something for boys like, as he said, my boy.
Yeah.
And so he provides it to a part of his community, working class Jewish people, Jewish boys. And it then continues today to a neighborhood of boys who are largely Black.
You also write that there's one thing in the building that's different now than when it was first built. What did you notice?
I find this fascinating. So it was funded and named for Bobby Franks, for Robert Franks. There was originally a plaque. When you come up into that lobby I was describing, there's a fireplace, and there was a plaque over the fireplace memorializing Bobby Franks. That's no longer visible. There is now a sculpture, a sort of white plaster sculpture of children and sports equipment. Mm-hmm. That conceals that. And I asked about it, and nobody really knows. I believe it's still in there. There's no reason they would have pried it off.
I wonder why they would cover the plaque.
Well, the building has changed names. It's now named for Sidney Epstein. It was previously named for somebody else. And I also think this is part of that idea that, as I said earlier, Leopold, Loeb, Franks, those names are sort of disappearing into the past.
Yeah. Well, before I let you go, Dennis, can you tease what else you might have been looking into lately?
Well, I think the next time I'm here, Sasha, we might be talking about what was that building, because something was demolished before we could actually get in on it.
Ooh, interesting. All right, Dennis Rodkin is a residential real estate reporter for Crane's Chicago Business and, of course, our What's That Building sleuth. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Sasha.
This episode of the Reset Podcast was produced by Linnea Dominic and me, and it was edited by Meha Ahmed and mixed by Brenda Ruiz. For more interviews on the news, the arts, and architecture across the city, make sure to subscribe to the Reset Podcast wherever you're listening. I'm Sasha Ann Simons. We'll talk again later today.
At a time when information continues to come at us faster and faster, sometimes you need to hit pause and rewind. NPR's Throughline takes you back in time to the source of the news stories filling your feed. Find NPR's Throughline wherever you get your podcasts.